Okay, so this is Sunday evening. We're in 1 John chapter 1, and I was talking about the joy of fellowship with the Word, and I've been very busy lately, and so you gotta, when you get pouring stuff out, you gotta get filled back up, right? And so we talked about the joy of the Lord, and so I had a lot of good introductory information last week. I actually got through quite a bit of material, but we want to make sure that our cup of joy is full to overflowing. And I know I need that, because joy is, you know, that's like in Nehemiah, that's so important, right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so Jesus, others, and yourself. All right, so let's pray, and I'll jump back into the text. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to meet. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the patience of these dear saints. And just pray, Lord, a blessing on the reading and the hearing of the Word tonight in our prayer time, most importantly, because that's what we're really here to do, is accomplish your mission in prayer. Stir us up in our pure minds in the Word of God to advance the mission through prayer, because, Lord, you use prayer in a mighty way. You called us into the throne room. We acknowledge that you are the God of heaven. You are the God of all power. You're omnipotent. Lord, you have all power, and you've given us the mission to go to all nations and teach them all things. And so, Father, we come to you tonight and pray, God, that you just encourage us, Lord, exhort us, and edify us, and help us to be full of the love of Christ, and so that we can love on each other and just continue to just be effective for the mission of God and the power of God for the glory of God. We praise you and thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Jesus is the joy, right, that's in our is the foundation of joy. So 1 John chapter 1 is where we were last week. Seems like last year. A lot of things have happened in a week. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested unto us. So we saw last week, you know, the joy is found in knowing who Jesus is, that Jesus is the God. He's obviously creator. In 1 John 1 through 5, you get down to the fifth verse, says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And it reminds us of Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, where, you know, God turned out the lights and brought them back on, so to speak, because of the fall of Satan. I didn't get into that last time, but I was just focusing on the fact that Jesus is God, and I gave you verses to back that up. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He's the Alpha, the Omega, according to Revelation 1:8. He says that twice. He says in Revelation 1:11. He is the one that lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive evermore. Revelation 1:17-18. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:11-13. And we talked about how his prophecies that have been fulfilled are numerically impossible without a miraculous, manifestation of Jesus Christ. It's the 332 messianic prophecies in the Hebrew Old Testament alone would not mathematically be possible if it were not for God's miraculous power. I mean, it, obviously God has brought forth his Son, and there's really mathematically no way to deny it's a miracle. So there's many more prophecies of Jesus' second coming, and we saw that joy is found in having, so this an awesome God that we serve, we have a personal relationship with, and that's what really brings us joy, is that we have relationship with God. And we have heard, we have seen, and our eyes have looked upon and handled, right, the word of life. Now, historically, that means they literally hung out with Jesus, right? It was very personal to them. They saw Jesus. They walked with Jesus from the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist. They had this relationship with the word of God. And John's relationship was with the word, John the Apostle, was mutual. It was personal, and it was mutual. Not only did he love the Lord, but the Lord loved him, calling the disciple that he loved. And so he doesn't say me, though, in the text. He says we. Right? So he includes us in this, in the introductory comments there. So it's not just John that he's talking about. It's we have this ability to have the joy of the Lord and to have this relationship with Jesus. And so I also mentioned that John's relationship with the word of life brought joy because it was empirical, meaning that it was tangible, measurable, and there was evidence. because he heard him, and we've heard him, and he saw the gospel in John 13-17, the discourse of Jesus speaking to his disciples as he spoke to them. They heard all the things Jesus came to accomplish as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And they saw with their eyes. And, of course, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And Jesus said, "Come and see." And they dwelt with him. They abode with him. They've looked upon. We talked about that. What did they look upon? They've investigated. They were witnesses, eyewitnesses of his majesty. In John's case, they were able to see him at the Mount of Transfiguration. What an incredible thing. And then in Acts 1:10, we saw that they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, and they watched him ascend. So they were with him from the beginning of his public ministry until he ascended in Acts 1 and verse 10. And so in John 20 and verse 29, Jesus saith unto them, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, but blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." And that would be us. But we have seen him through the word of God. So John the Baptist introduced Jesus by saying, "Behold." And so he also mentions that our hands have handled. And here John's referencing the physical nature of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about that as well. And that brings me to where I left off. So joy is found. Here's new notes if you're taking notes. And if you're not, you're just caught up to where I'm at. So joy, in a big picture, to make it simple, joy is found in Jesus. That was my first major point that we covered last week. Secondly, wait a minute. Well, that was my point. So joy is found in knowing who Jesus is. That's the first major point. Joy is found in knowing who Jesus is, and joy is found in having a relationship with Jesus. And then joy is found in identifying Jesus. And so back to verse 1, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life," capital W there. So that's a personal pronoun. So joy is found in knowing who Jesus is, having relationship with Jesus through interacting with him and identifying Jesus properly as the word of God and the proper noun word. And so for 2,000 years, God has revealed to the church through John where to meet with Jesus so we can hear him, see him with our eyes, and look upon him and handle him with our hands, right? And that's in the words of God. That's in the word of life. And so it's not an accident that that's his name. And so how do we treat our Bible? You know, Jesus and his word cannot be separated. He is perfect. And you either have his words in your language or you don't. I mean, really, that's really what it boils down to. You either are fellowshipping with the word of life or you're not. So joy is found in Jesus, and Jesus is found in his word. So hearing him, seeing him, looking upon him, handling him, he is the word of life, and it is the word of life that leads you to the way of life and leads me to the way of life. And John 14:6, a familiar passage to most of us, says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And of course, this morning we talked a lot about the ark and access to the Father through the Son and the propitiation that he provides. The only other mention of the phrase word of life found in the Bible is found in Philippians 2:16. And a familiar passage to many of us here. So here in that text, it's exactly the same, but the word translated from logos, which is the Greek word for word, is not capitalized. This happens to be the very same passage that is part of our church at Heartland here, our vision. And we want to be faithful to hold forth the word of life until Jesus returns. And we literally have an opportunity to do that as we literally assemble Bibles. And we literally study our Bibles. And we have the words of life. We have the word of life and the words of life. So Philippians 2:16 says, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." And so I like the word "forth," because a lot of us, you notice in used to be, it's not so cool anymore because everything's electronic. Used to be you just held your Bible. But it's not just holding our Bible, right? It's holding it forth. It's getting it, it's moving it forward, advancing the Word of God. That's what we should be about. And so it's no accident that the following exact same phrase involves us exalting the Word of God. The same word "joy" is mentioned twice. In Philippians 2:17-18, it says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So there's holding forth the word of God, and then right after he says that, he says, hey, and if I get sacrificed, I'm happy. I'm a happy camper to be sacrificed. I'm joyful about it, and I rejoice with you. So wait a minute. Is Paul crazy? I mean, wait a minute. I think Paul's getting ahead of me. So let's go to my next point concerning how to find joy, because the first point to joy is spending time with Jesus. I think... Tyler Scholes used to say vitamin J, you know, Jesus. So J is that we need to remember to prioritize Jesus. The first thing you do in the morning, and I do at least in the morning, is pray to Jesus. And the first thing I do in the morning is read the Word of God. Before Facebook, right? Before text messages, before emails, and all of those things, I read the Word of God. And I have to. It's got to be the first voice. Now, I'm not trying to get legalistic with y'all, but for me, I'm just talking about me. That's the first voice I need to hear in the morning is Jesus' voice, because I don't know how to filter everything else without it. I will get on an emotional vent if I don't have Jesus first. And so the first voice I hear in the morning, and the first voice I would submit that we all should be hearing in the morning, is the voice of Jesus. So, and if you want to have joy, if you're not having joy and you're allowing something to get ahead of Jesus in priority as far as the voices in the day, I would recommend you try that. Like if you're wrestling with depression, you're wrestling with an attitude issue, you know, you're wrestling with, joy, lack of joy. You might need some rest. That's actually a real thing. You know, you might need to go exercise. There's some practical things that you might need to do too. And you can consult a physician. But, when it comes to spiritual matters, put Jesus first. Put Jesus first. And see if that doesn't help you process. And, I've had this conversation with my son pretty recently, because he's got a very hectic schedule right now. He's going to school. He's working two or three jobs actually. And so he's just busy and he's going and there's a lot of pulling at him, you know, different directions. And he's like, all the fun's over, you know, being a kid's ended and like, welcome to the real world. And so, but the real world doesn't have to be negative, because you know what? When you put Jesus first, you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the other stuff comes. And so a lot of times it is just really being able to put Jesus first and finding your joy in Christ. Now, I say that like that's almost like everyone knows that, and we should know that, and we do know that. But then there's actually practical things that you got to do, like every day, at least I do, where I got to put Jesus first so I can function. And because sometimes it's overwhelming. You ever just want to go crawl in a hole and hide, you know? So I'm kind of like that. If I could get away, you know, that Southwest commercial is looking good. You know, want to get away? I'm like, yes, I want to run. So I'm not a runner by nature. I do like to stand and fight. But at the end of the day, there are times when you're just tired and you're lacking joy, or you're kind of wrung out, like after a trip, an exciting trip, and you're tired, you've been traveling, you come home, your kids are moving. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on, right? You got a banquet coming up. I'm looking at Pam, I'm thinking about her agenda. She's got a lot going on. She's in HBI. Jamie's in HBI. He's got Sherwin weighing down on him, you know? And we all got different things, you know, always pressing down on us. Okay, well, let's make sure we get capital J, Jesus, in our life first and foremost, because we're going to lose our joy if we don't. Now there's an O in the acronym of joy. The first one is Jesus, of course. Second, O is others. Let's transition away. We're not going to be very good to others if we don't have Jesus, right? If he's not our priority, we're not going to be helpful. And so let's turn to others. Joy is found in sharing the word with others, right? So joy is found in Jesus. That was first major point. Now, second major point is others. Joy is found in sharing the word with others. In verse 3, we're going to focus on that. I'm going to back up and just kind of look at this. In 1 John chapter 1, he says, in verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we need to make sure to witness to others of our relationship with the Word. We need to be a witness to others of your relationship to the Word. So tell people where you have been with Jesus. That's really what he's saying. I want to share with you what I know about Jesus and who I know, right? That's really what we just looked at in verses 2 and 3. Witness to others of your relationship with the Word. That's the best evangelism. I do like what Lee Carter did yesterday at the hot harvest party, right? He just got up. It wasn't a fancy outline. He just told everybody how he was fake and how God wasn't, and he got saved. And he told his story. And he witnessed to everybody about what Jesus had done in his life. That's a great way to do share the gospel. Just share with others that what you found in Christ. So tell people where you've been with Jesus. Build a history with Jesus. And John has given us, history in the past tense of where he had been with Jesus. He says, for life was manifested, past tense, and we have seen it, past tense. John is speaking of the time he and the apostles spent with Jesus in his earthly ministry. So we have seen life, and we've seen life was manifested, and we've seen it. All that's past tense. But today it's time to witness, right? In John 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, there was a man sent from God, talking about John the Baptist, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so witness today of who Jesus is to you, just like John the Baptist did. John is doing for us what John the Apostle is doing for us, what John the Baptist did for him. Right? There was a time when John the Baptist exposed Jesus to John the Apostle. And so, this year we're all about continuing in diligence and growing in faithfulness, right? And we're about faith. Jeremiah had to believe God, even against his better judgment. I mean, it's like, I'm buying this field. What am I doing? And God's like, hey, just don't sweat it. Nothing is impossible. Like, nothing is too hard for me. This was the theme of the men's conference this year. Nothing is too hard for me. God can do it. And so he is the person that helps us. And so if we don't have a relationship with God and his word, how in the world are we going to share that with others? Right? And there's times when it seems like impossible. And yet it's possible with God. All things are possible with God. So if you don't have a relationship with his book, with the word of God, there's not going to be any joy to share with others. And we'll be a miserable child of God. You ever met the miserable child of God? I mean, it's just kind of like, ugh. I kind of sense that. That's one of the reasons you probably hear it in my words, is just sensitive to getting physical rest right now. Because when I get like super, super tired, it's kind of hard to be joyful. It's not that I'm not joyful on the inside, but it's hard to express it, right? Because you just want to take a nap, for goodness sake, And that's important, though, because as a pastor, it's important, especially because I'm not just, I mean, that sounds wrong. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We're all just people here. But as a pastor, there's people that look to you, as an example. And so I got to be careful, not to show up at the harvest party. So I need a happy face on, because you can tell when people's countenance is down. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to fake it, so it needs to be authentic. And so I'm not saying we got to be, a bunch of phony balonies and put on plastic smiles. We really need authentic joy. People need to know that, man, we're walking with God, and Jesus is enough, and he's sufficient. And so sometimes you do just need to make sure you're balanced and getting the rest that you need. So we need to have history in the word of life if we want to bring him into the present and bear witness and show unto others eternal life. Now, not everything that the apostles went through was happy. They had difficult times with Jesus in the public ministry. Right? So there are difficulties they went through. But at the end of the day, by the time you get to the book of Acts, they're all overcomers. I mean, they're just bold as can be, and they have all confidence in the power of God. Why? Because they have a history of God coming through for them. So how many of us have a history of God coming through? I mean, we all do. I'm in a class this morning, real life class, and we had Cheryl Anderson on our prayer list. She had this, what we thought was a malignant tumor, et cetera, et cetera. And man, Betty tells us it's benign. It's not even, and so we're rejoicing. We're believing that that was our answered prayer. Now, maybe it was already benign. I don't know. But we're praying that she's already got cancer. So they thought it was malignant. We thought it was malignant. So we went to praying. And we saw God come through. And so I'm not going to allow anyone to rob that joy. And as far as I'm concerned, God answered our prayer. Right? And we know from our history that God answers prayer, and that God comes through. And so that gives us encouragement. And that's why John is encouraged. That's why Paul back there in Philippians chapter 2 verses 17 and 18 can be encouraged, even when he says, hey, I'm happy to be offered as a sacrifice for y'all. because God always comes through, and he knows that there's something better way. He can't wait to get out of this old carcass and get to glory. He's so confident in God's promises, and because he's got a history with Jesus. He spent 3 years in Arabia with him. He's seen him rise him up, you know, getting stoned in Iconium. He gets that back up, and I mean, God has come through for him over and over. It's hard not to be joyous whenever you know the power of God and you know Jesus Christ. And so that's something you can give to other people. So you don't have to get down in the mouth. You don't have to be, you know, discouraged. And then there's going to be times when you're down in the mouth and discouraged, and God will bring people in your life that have a history with Jesus that'll come and encourage you and say, it's okay, come on, let's go. Jesus is going to come through for you. Just believe his word. Make his word first. And John says the word of life was with the Father and was manifested unto us. John is not just speaking of his incarnation at his birth. He's speaking of the time in the first day of the week of the subsequent 40 days when Jesus physically fellowshipped with his apostles and prepared them to fulfill the mission of God and the power of God. In Acts 1:8-9, which I've already mentioned, it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Acts 2:33 says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Ye now see and hear. Acts 2:33. John is talking about seeing and hearing, and then declaring here in 1 John chapter 1. Philippians 2:9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And so there is a reason that we meet together on the first day of the week around the Word of Life. It's because we desire the joy and the fellowship the disciples had after the resurrection of Christ. So we used to sing the hymn, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is with me, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. That's right. He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. Well, you know, he lives within our heart, doesn't he? And so we gather together because Jesus is the Word of Life, and we want to be a witness to others of our relationship with the Word. So next week I'll come back and talk about the declaration because I'm running out of time. So so we need to be a witness of the Word, and that witness is to others. It's not about convincing ourselves. It's about convincing others through the life that we live through Christ Jesus. So Jesus, others, I'm stuck in the middle of others, and then next week we'll get to yourselves, and we'll get to that later. That's joy. Jesus, others, and yourself.